Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Father God, now we come to the time where we can share some laughter, we can share some joy, we can also share the truth. And Father, in that truth, we bring you all praise, honor, and glory. So Father, I just ask that you will let your word speak through itself. Let the Holy Spirit enter each heart what you would have us to have. And Lord, just please remove me from it. We thank you. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Now, as we stated earlier, we kind of know that there is a cultural thing going on today, an American cultural thing with the Super Bowl. And actually, I'm not supposed to even say that. I'm supposed to say the big game now for copyright infringement. But anyway, I'm going to call it what it is. All right. And I met this man here in Odessa the other day, and he was wearing his Mahomes jersey, and he was all excited. And I was talking to him down there at the corner gas station, and he said, "You know, I'm going to call the NFL." And I said, "You're going to call the NFL? What are you talking about?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm going to call Roger Goodell myself, and I'm going to tell him, look, I have been a lifelong season ticket holder. I have gone to every home game that Kansas City had since 1969. I've done everything. They need to bring the Super Bowl to me. They need to play the Super Bowl at Odessa High School Stadium." And I said, "Really?" And I said, "You just try that and see what happens." And he said, "I am. I mean, I'm everything a fan is supposed to be. Why can't they come to where I'm at for a change?" You know, brothers and sisters, I say that tongue-in-cheek, and that really didn't happen. I'm just telling you that as an illustration, okay? I don't think any of us would be foolhardy enough to call the NFL and demand it to be played at our local high school stadium. But think about that for a second. He wanted what he thought was important to come to him. Brothers and sisters, as believers in Jesus Christ, Jesus does not come to us. We go to Him. And that is what we are going to talk about this morning. I want you to turn your Bible to John chapter 1. And we're going to begin in verses 35 through 39. And we're going to see here, I'm talking about John, but John, the writer, is talking about John the Baptist. So sometimes we get our Johns mixed up. There's a joke there, but I'm not going into it, okay? Somebody said, "Yeah, I'm just waiting for you, preacher." No, we need to keep our John straight. But anyway, John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 35 through 39. And it says in verse 35, "Again the next day after John," that is the Baptist, "stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi," which is to say being interpreted Master, "where dwellest thou?" He said unto them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now in this small little section of verses here, we see some interesting then. We see two of John's, the Baptist, disciples. Now we know one of them was Andrew. We know that from verse 40 of the same chapter, because it tells us that Andrew was one of the two that went and followed Jesus. I also believe that the other disciple was John himself, because John was originally a disciple of John the Baptist. And he was there, and he saw it, and he wrote it down later. Well, anyway, Jesus had initially been pointed out earlier, all right, in verse 29 in chapter 1, when he, John the Baptist, saw him, he said something interesting. Again, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God," but then he added, "who taketh away the sins of the world." So John not only proclaimed him as the Messiah, he proclaimed the purpose. Now, what two thoughts must have been going through those two disciples' head, John and Andrew? You see, they had been waiting for the Messiah. All Israel that were believers were waiting for the Messiah to come. And they had followed many different teachers and leaders. And they found John. Now, what did John preach? John preached repentance. John preached to prepare your hearts for the coming of the Messiah. He even said himself, "I am not the Messiah, but I am one like the voice crying out in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Now that was a prophecy fulfilled unto itself, because we read in the Old Testament that one would come. Isaiah said that there would be one coming that said, prepare the way for the Lord. And this was what John the Baptist was doing. And remember who John the Baptist was. He was Jesus' cousin. In fact, we remember in the pre-Christmas scriptures where Mary, when she was pregnant, went to see her cousin Elizabeth. And John the Baptist was in Elizabeth's womb and leapt for joy when Mary, who was pregnant with the Lord, came into contact with them. We see the interaction that John had, and when Jesus showed up in his ministry, who knows what happened before that? Was there any contacts between Jesus and John before that? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us, and it's foolish for us to conjecture what the Bible does not tell us. We have what God wanted us to have, and we study that, and we learn that. But we know that when Jesus showed up for his earthly ministry, John pointed him out. Behold, the Lamb of God. Now that's important. Why is the Lamb of God important? That phrase, because Jesus was going to be the sacrificial lamb that would be given for the sins of all who would believe in him. So it was important. And even John, in the first introduction, in verse 29 in the chapter, he added, who takes away the sins of the world. Christ was the Lamb who was to be slain, who was to blood who was going to take away the sins of all who would believe in him. Now that's important, because that's what the two disciples had been waiting on. They didn't know Jesus. They didn't know what the Messiah would do. All they know is the Messiah was coming. And when John pointed him out, they left. They went to where Jesus was. But there was a condition that was in those disciples' heart. They were prepared to follow the Lamb of God. They were prepared to go where Jesus was. They were not like, well, I'm good enough. I'm going to sit back here and, you know, if this man's who he says he's going to come to me and he's going to do things my way. Brothers and sisters, that is one of the biggest and most hell-given mistakes that we as believers think. We think Jesus has to do what we say. He has to follow our system. He has to be what we teach. No, he is what God made him as revealed in the Word of God. And that's what he is. Now there may be many things that Jesus did that we don't know about. In fact, in the very end of the Gospel of John, he says if everything that Jesus did was written down, the world could not contain all the books. But God revealed to us what we need to know for salvation. And he reveals it to us. We need to have the condition within our heart to follow Jesus when we finally realize the truth. John pointed the truth, behold the Lamb of God. The two disciples that were looking for that, they went after Jesus. And John's testimony is true. Jesus was later asked, or Jesus actually asked later on, what people went out to see when they went out to see John the Baptist. We remember those Bible verses. What did you go out to see? Someone clothed in royal raiment? Or a weed shaking like a wind? No. But great, there's been no one born of woman greater than John the Baptist. In fact, many scholars, that's Jesus' words, but many scholars believe, and I happen to believe, that John was the last Old Testament mold prophet. He arrived before Jesus completed his ministry, and he told the truth to prepare the people for what God was going to do. You see, when a preacher gets up, or your grandpa gets up, or someone you know and care about gets up, and they tell you the truth, they are preparing your heart to receive that truth. But you have to believe it in order to receive it. You know, it's hard for me to realize, but there are some people, you could tell them the truth, you could tell them the good, you could tell them the gospel all day long, and they're just going to sit there and look at you with a blank stare on your face. To me, that's akin to God giving you the golden goose, and he's done giving you a dozen golden eggs, which, by the way, are going to be a lot more expensive than have been lately. But they're going to lay them golden eggs in your hand, and everything's taken care of, and you just stood there and like, what do you want me to do with these, Fromm? It just boggles my mind, because in our hearts we know the truth. But you have to act on the truth. Even people that do evil know that they're doing evil is wrong. That's the truth. They know that, but yet they do it anyway. Brothers and sisters, that's what we need to avoid. We need to understand that one greater than John the Baptist, one greater than Jonah, one greater than the Queen of Sheba was now among God's people, and he's still among God's people. One greater than John was among them, and they must be prepared to follow. Now, just as we said, great events or great people seldom come to us. We need to go where the truth is. You know, I don't know if any of y'all have been following the revival at Asbury College in Kentucky. Do y'all know what's going on there? Have y'all seen that? 30, 40 years ago, they had a very similar event. And they started out with a Bible study, and a revival lasted for weeks and months. And from that, the Jesus movement of the 60s came about. God used His Spirit among young people. They've been having a revival that started at a chapel service on February 8th, and it's still going. And it hasn't stopped. And people, young people, are going and praising the Lord and repenting and falling on their faces before God and praising His name. And it's just rolling and rolling and rolling. And many say, this may be the start. Brothers and sisters, the reason that it may be a start is because those people are prepared to go where Jesus is and to follow Him wherever He leads. In fact, we used to sing as an invitation, wherever He leads, I'll go. But we ended up singing it like rote memorization, like saying the Lord's Prayer or something. It wasn't heartfelt, but it should be. When we sing these hymns, when we sing, oh, how He loves you and me, that is an acknowledgement of how great God loves us. And we need not only to believe it, but we need to act on it. And when we act on it, God uses us for great and many things. You see, these two disciples, John and Andrew, and Andrew, as we remember, was the brother of Simon Peter. That's for John 1, verse 40. They immediately left John and went to Jesus. And you know, John did not begrudge them, for later he stated, he must increase and I must decrease. John had a bunch of followers, and several of them went to Jesus. Now, not all of them, because we remember when John was put in prison, John's disciples came to Jesus and asked him, was he really the Messiah? Because John was having some moments of doubt. That's another sermon for another time. But the point is that John's disciples went to Jesus. They went to where He was. Why? Because John knew and the disciples knew that Christ was the Messiah. God told them that. Now, yes, there had been some miracles. We're going to see when we cover the miracles in the Gospel of John, the wedding of Cana and places like that. They were outward signs. It showed Jesus' divinity and power as well as His manhood. But right now, this was just a simple truth that was given to them, and they believed it because they knew it to be the truth. Do we know it to be the truth? If you don't know it's the truth, then you need to get on your knees and ask God to show you. In whatever way He does. But whatever way He does show you, it's not going to contradict the Scriptures. Nothing God does contradicts what the Word of God says. He doesn't give you any special revelation. Now, there are those that claim He does. Now, if He shows you something in the Word of God, and you say, that's a revelation, I didn't know that, yes, that's real. But if you have some pipe dream that says, God told me to go out and hurt somebody or do something like that, no, that's not of God. Okay? But that's, again. But what's interesting is what Jesus said when the disciples caught up with Him. Verse 38 says, then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? Does Jesus do that when you come to Him? Now, we as human beings, we would phrase that a little differently. We would phrase it like, what do you want? Now, Jesus doesn't do that. When you come to Jesus, He asks you, what do you seek? What are you looking for when you go to Jesus? Obviously, John and Andrew, they were looking for the Messiah. What are we looking for? I'll tell you what I'm looking for. I'm looking for love, mercy, forgiveness, grace, eternal life,
But the mercy and the forgiveness jumps out of that group. That's what I'm looking for. Because I know, based on the truth that has been revealed to me through the Word of God, I know that I'm a sinner in need of God's mercy and forgiveness. And thanks be to God through Christ and the cross and the resurrection, He has given me that. So I can boldly stand before the throne of God and plead the blood of Christ, and I am accepted as a child of God. Does that mean I'm going to be perfect? No. But it means I want to be. And it means I try to be. And it means that I love God and I will go to where He is at. But listen to what they said. Jesus said, "What seek ye?" They said unto Him, "Rabbi," which is to be interpreted Master. Now that was just a common name you called your teachers or the people you were disciples for. "Where dwellest thou?" "Jesus, where do you live? Where are you?" In modern verbiage, we would equal that statement to, "Where are you from? Where are you staying? Can we come? Can we be there with you?" You think about the joy that they had when He said, "Come and see." Because that's what He said in verse 39. "He saith unto them, Come and see." They came and saw where He dwelt and abode with Him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now, brothers and sisters, Jesus in no way cast them out. He says later on that all that the Father send me, I am no way cast out. God leads you to where Christ is. But you have to stay there. You have to believe. You have to see. You have to experience. You have to believe. You have to have faith. And once you have faith, you will stay where Jesus is. Not just physically, because we read in Scripture, once we are in the body of Christ, once we have believed and we are saved by grace through faith, we are present in the heavenlies with Christ. Now that's a mystery. And we don't understand how all that happens. But it's true because the Word of God says it's true. But just as we are with Him, He is with us. He is with us. And we abide with Him. We've got a whole chapter in John we'll get to later about He is the vine and we are the branches. And we abide in Him. We take our salvation from Him. We take our joy from Him. We take our love and our mercy that we give to others from Him. Because we went to where He was. So the two followed Jesus and they stayed with Him. They hung out with Him the rest of the day. And if we were to read on, we would read where Andrew went to his brother Peter and he told him, "Out, find the Messiah." And it's interesting, in Luke he gives an add-on that, they were fishing and when Jesus showed His power and Peter responded, it wasn't exactly what we would think it should be. It's interesting. Jesus said, "Come with me and I will make you fishers of men." What did Peter say? "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." And brothers and sisters, that is the repentance, that is the admission that we need Christ. Peter didn't say, "All right, Lord, I'm all right, I'm a good fellow, I'm a good Jew, I'm going to come live with you." No. He said, "Depart from me." But yet Jesus still took him as a disciple because he went where Jesus went. What I want all of us to see here with the two disciples is they went to where Jesus was. And that's what required of us. Now, physically, when we go to where Jesus is, right now, that means we've passed and gone to heaven. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about we're in the position that Jesus is in all the holiness and all the righteousness that He is, we go to Him. Does that mean we're going to be able to, on this side of life, get everything right? No, but that's why you're heading to Christ. That's why you're going to where He is, because you see what you can be through the Holy Spirit, and you're moving in that direction always because He loves you, because you love Him. And if you love Him, you will go to be where He's at, including the cross.
You've got pastors that tells you God loves you and He's going to give you everything you want. It depends. Do you want what God wants for you? Or do you want what the world tells you you want? It's a very difficult thing because we as human beings, we equate love with success and gifts and materialism. You know, Christ is going to love you whether you're a very wealthy person or you turn to Him, or He loves you if you're the poorest man in a country where you know you'll be killed if you profess Christ and you turn to Him. He loves you regardless. You go to where Christ is. Come and see where Christ is. You see, Christ is a servant, but as a servant, He's also master and king. Remember in the Gospel of John where He was washing the feet? He's washing the feet, but He says, "You call Me master and Lord, and rightly so." That was Jesus' words too. He is master and Lord. And because He serves us out of love, not because He has to. But as His children, His servants, His brothers and sisters. And yes, biblically we can use all of those terms. We are to serve Him, to show our love for Him, just as He serves us by giving us eternal life. You know, I don't understand. Jesus is Lord of all, Master of all. He is King over all people, all over His people. We go to Him and learn from Him, and not the other way around. Why do we think He owes us anything? He offers us everything. He offers us forgiveness. He offers us love. He offers us grace. He offers us mercy. He offers us eternal life. But does He owe it to us? No. Some preachers would tell you He does, and they're lying. We owe everything to Him. We owe our heartbeat. We owe our breath. We owe our life. We owe our family. We owe our job. We owe our temperament. We owe our mental stability. We owe everything to Him and Him alone. And once we get that, it frees us to go to where Jesus is. We go to Him in repentance and faith. He then responds in love and mercy toward all those who would believe in Him. He commands us to believe the gospel. We do not command Him to come to us. He commands us to come to Him. You know, some foolish people think that Jesus is a genie in a bottle, and all you got to do is rub the bottle the right way and say the right words, and He's going to have to give you whatever you require. You know the old walk around the Cadillac 13 times backwards and say a certain prayer and boom, you're going to have it within a week. Folks, when you're thinking that, you're not thinking about Christ. You're thinking about yourself. Now, if you are on the throne of your heart, where is Christ in that mix? He's in the bottle. And we know that's not where He is. He calls us to Him. How do I know this? Scripture, Matthew 11:28. "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." If you come unto Christ, you will find rest for your souls. And brothers and sisters, that's one of the greatest things that I desire right now is peace and rest. Y'all seen the garbage that's going on in our world. How many of y'all watched the Grammys or taped the Grammys the other night? Y'all saw the fellow from England. I don't know what his name is. Really don't care. He classifies himself as non-binary. So he dressed up as Satan, and they had a dark stage with all kind of candles around it, and they had the dancers dressed up like demons jumping around him, celebrating and worshiping him. That's what the world wants you to think. That Satan is just some cartoon character. Folks, that's the world's default position. Do we know that? If you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, you worship Satan whether you realize it or not. You have to go to God, and God will change you to where you don't do that anymore. Here another verse, Matthew 4. It says, "And He saith unto him, Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. Again, follow me. Come to me. Come where I'm at. Don't stay there in the world with all its sin and all its evil wickedness. Some things that are coming to my mind right now, I can't even say in the context with people because they're so evil and wicked. And brothers and sisters, you remember the song we sang as children, my age children and older? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Brothers and sisters, we need to teach that again because that crap out there right now, they are actively seeking to destroy the family, your children, everything. And yet the world's, oh, it's okay. It's not okay. And when they have to stand before the great judgment seat of God, then they will repent, but then it's too late. You got to know where you're going this side of the Jordan before you cross the river. Matthew 19, one of the verses says this, Jesus said unto them, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. He's talking to the rich young ruler. But what happened to the rich young ruler? Even though Jesus called him, come and follow me, he turned away because he had many possessions. You know, some of my Reformed brethren, I get into conversations and they say, well, you know, when God calls you, it's irresistible grace. You cannot resist it. Right here, the Bible says you can. You can turn away. You can walk away. You're stupid and you're foolish if you do it, but you can do it. And oh, Jesus, I'm sure, because he wept many times, he was sad, the Bible tells us, because he loved that young man. But he walked away. And lastly, let's not forget old John himself, John the Apostle, John the Revelator. Revelations chapter 4, verse 1. Come up here! Again, John, through the Spirit, on the Lord's day, went when he was called and saw the things that were to come to pass, things that we have not seen yet. So Jesus, now let me rephrase, Jesus does come to this world. Jesus came to this world as the incarnate Son of God. We know that from Matthew 1, Luke 2. And in Revelation 9, he's coming again on that white horse as King and King and Lord of Lords. And he's going to kick tail and take names. And brothers and sisters, we are going to be behind him. We're going to be on the white horses that follow after him, the armies of heaven, clothed in clean and white linen. But we are here, his people. We are to go to him. By faith, we are to go to him. By prayer, we are to go to him. By humility, we are to go to him. By repentance, we are to go to him. And by royal command, we are to go to him, to his throne. We are to learn his word. We are to learn his ways. We are to learn his will. We do this by opening, reading, studying, and meditating upon the word of God. We do this in prayer. We do this by putting ourselves before the feet of Christ at the throne of God. We go to where he is. And we are to live by his example. In short, we're to go to him and sit at his feet. That's the greatest place in my mind that you can be in the universe, is at the feet of the living and loving Christ. No wonder John, when he saw the image of Christ there in Revelation, walking among the lampstands, what did he do? On his face. How many of us have gone on our faces before God? We usually do, but we usually wait till it's in a time of great anguish or great stress and great trouble and trial, which is good. We should never stop doing that. But shouldn't we, before the throne of God, when we are happy and joyous, also get on our face because he is God? And he allows us, by the blood of Jesus Christ, to come before the throne. I remember Esther. When Esther had to go before the king, don't ask me to pronounce his name, okay? Ahasuerus or something like that. Sounds like a weird biblical dinosaur. Ahasuerus, get it? No, never mind. I'm moving on. I need to go back to the chief's jokes. At least I got laughs with them. But anyway, if she went in and he did not extend that scepter, what was to happen to her? Even though she was the queen of Persia, she was to be killed. But she boldly went because she knew her husband loved her. And he extended the scepter. God the Father extends the love of Jesus Christ as a scepter to us, and we can boldly go before the throne of grace anytime. Think about that, people. Do we act on that? Do we think about that? Do we love God enough to trust Him in every circumstance? We should.
So, church, let's stop trying to make Jesus like us. Let's stop trying to make God in our image. We are made in His image. Thus, we're to be like Him and Him alone, not the world. Now, folks, please hear me. There are the things in the world that God has given us to enjoy and to fellowship around and to have fun with that are good. And we know many things that God has made for our enjoyment is good. So I'm not saying you got to go live in the desert in a tent and beat yourself in the back with a whip as they did in the Middle Ages. You don't need to do that. But you need to do what God has commanded us to do, which is to love Him more than anything else and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And if we do that, we're going to where He's at. You know, I mentioned a few minutes ago that Grammy award show scene, but you know, God gave us music. God gave us songs. What are we to do with those songs? Are we to worship the devil? No, we're to sing praise and honor and glory to God. And we can sing about other things. Absolutely. We can sing about the love we have for our spouse. We can sing about the pride we have in our children. We can sing about the glories of the creation. We can sing about joyous, happy things. We don't need to take what God has given us and turn it into or pervert it into something different because we bring it to us. We need to go to the source. We are to go to the source. So church, like the two disciples, let us go and see where the Savior is. You want to know where He is? Well, we find the directions right here. We find the roadmap. This is the original Siri. Of course, I don't think this will get you turned off on the wrong road like Siri does on occasion. I hear some giggles. But it will always point you to the truth of how to know Christ, to love Christ, and to meet Christ. And when we learn those things, we will go to Him. We will always Christ commands us to come and see. Are we willing to come and see where Christ is, what He does, and how He desires us to live? When we understand this, then we can follow John and Andrew when John the Baptist cries out, "Behold the Lamb of God." Wouldn't you like to have been there? Wouldn't you have liked to have seen the hearts as Jesus opened up the Word, like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, when their hearts burned within them, when He opened up the Scriptures? Don't we want that? It's available. The Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, is within us if we are believers, and it opens up the Scriptures to us every time we open the book with the right heart, with the right attitude. You can be mean and angry at somebody and open the book, and all it's going to tell you is you're a sinner. But if you open it up to seek where Christ is, it will show you step by step to climb Jacob's ladder. You know, one of the best songs I remember that I hold dear. Do y'all remember that song? Do you remember that TV show Ken Burns put out, The Civil War, back in the 90s? It was a documentary on PBS. Well, one of the songs they had in there was Climbing Jacob's Ladder. And it was sang by an old church choir. No musical instruments, nothing. And as we are climbing this Jacob's Ladder, step by step, step by step, we're moving up that ladder. Step by step, we're getting closer to Jesus. Folks, but that means we're moving towards Him. We're going to Him. He comes to us through the Holy Spirit. Yes, no one's arguing that. I will never argue that. But our goal is to be where He is. Isn't that one of the greatest promises that we read? Let me go read this out of John 14. Some of y'all remember this, some of you may not. This just came up to me, so y'all give me just a second. John 14, and we know the first part of the verse, but let's go to verse 3. If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. He's coming back for His people. He's coming back for His sons and daughters. We need to be ready. We need to be at the place where Jesus will come. And when we hear the trumpet, we will go to Him. I can't wait. I really can't wait. That gets me excited because I know all the garbage, all the trash, all the evil, all the wickedness will be left behind. That's when I preach funerals. I don't preach sad funerals. Unless I have to preach one of an unsaved person, then I preach for the family. But if it's a saint of God, I preach joy because they are experiencing what we long to experience. Now, we have to get there in God's timing. And sometimes He allows us to live to 100 years old. I think they had one of the Chiefs fans on one of the TV stations. She was 104 years old. And she had, you know, I think there was a lady in Texas that lived to be 106, and she smoked a cigar and drank 3 Dr. Peppers every day, and that's how she said she lived that long. I don't know if y'all remember that. 10, 2, and 6. How many remember that? Y'all don't. Am I old or y'all just not responding this morning? I can't get it. But anyway, the point is we need to be ready to behold the Lamb of God. We need to be ready to go to where He is. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, are you willing to go where He is? Are you willing to live the life He commands you to live? Are you ready? Can you go to Him and fall at His feet in repentance and faith, even as a believer? You don't have to do that just as a non-believer coming to faith. You can do that anytime to fall at His feet. If you can, God bless you. If you can't, what holds you back? What in the name of peace does this world have to offer you that's better than God? The answer is nothing. But you see, our mind has been clouded. Our mind, eye, has been blinded by the God of this world. But the Holy Spirit, when you go to Christ in faith and repentance, can remove that veil and you can see clearly. If someone gave you 2 tickets to that game we've been talking about, most would bend over backwards to get there. Oh, I'm going to the game. I'm going to heaven. You want to go with me? You want to go to where Christ is at? Come on, folks. It may take us step by step. It may take us one at a time. But we're heading to where Christ is. And all I can say to that is hallelujah. So let us lay aside the cares of this world and go to Him. He loves you. He calls to you to come to Him. Go to the Savior. He is waiting for you this day. Praise God. You don't have to even be unsaved. You can be saved and He can still ring out His voice to you. Come to me. If you are willing, God bless you. Because you are blessed. Praise Him. Now, brothers and sisters, the question is, and you know this, I go through it every Sunday, and I'm going to go through it every Sunday until God gets my tongue out of my mouth. Do you know Him? You cannot experience His presence, His grace, unless you know Him. Are you right with Him? Now, see, that's a hard thing for us to understand because, you see, as believers, there are times when we let the world, our flesh, anything in the world, come between us and God, and we turn away from God because there's something, there's the shiny little thing over here, or there's the little experience over here, and it's just, it's crazy. But are you willing to go to Him? Because He's not left you. He's right where He always has been. So will you come to Him? Will you go to Him?
Will you celebrate what He's done to you? If you are willing, praise God. If you want to pray with me, come up and pray with me. You want to pray with a brother or sister pew that you trust, you pray with them. But let's celebrate the Lord. And when this invitation is played and sang, this invitation is for you to come and see all that God has for you.